Good morning. Welcome to Deadly Days, Tales of Dark Fantasy. This is episode number 43. Today's episode, we'll get to that in a minute, but first I want to say that I try to do these weekly. These are stories that I have translated. And if you're interested in this kind of literature, you can find them, more stories that I've translated, both short books of short stories and of novels, and they're published on lulu.com or lulu.com/spotlight/anarchistbanjo would bring up a page with all my stuff on it, or just Joe Bandel, Joe Band, like a rock and roll band, E-L, or you can type in a search for the story directly. For example, I just finished publishing a story, a novel by Carl Hans Strobel called Ghosts in the Swamp. It's the first novel that I've translated by him, even though I've translated two books of short stories. Other authors that I've translated and that we're going to find here, there's Hans Heinz Ewers, Carl Hans Strobel, these are two, also Der Orchideen Garten, the world's first illustrated fantasy magazine, had a lot of German authors, and Cocaine Magazine, which I translated for Sidereal Press, has a bunch of German authors too, and today's story is actually coming from Cocaine. Now, it's a fairly short story, that's why I'm talking a little bit more than I might normally. However, it's a little bit unique. The story's Vengeance, and this is what it says here. A sketch from life in the wild Albanian mountains from the book Morituri, and is translated from the Serbian by Josip Schlegel Zagreb. So, this is a Serbian story. And what I find interesting in both Der Orchideen Garten and Cocaine, they did use a lot of stories from other nations, from other countries, and translated those into English, not English, they translated them into German. So, this is actually a Serbian story, and it's a story from over 100 years ago. Who knows how old this story is? It's quite short, but anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Okay. Vengeance. Beeb, oh Beeb. Through the dusk, these words echoed over the bare and wild chasms near a scattered village close to Krojus, on the top of a moss-covered outcropping on which crippled trees grew, stood the beautiful Prenka. She was holding her hands cupped around her mouth so that her voice could carry further and be heard better. She shouted into the dusk and looked into the distance, behind the mountains, to where the autumn sun was sinking, to then disappear somewhere in the sea. Beeb! Oh, Beeb! It rang out once more through the barren rock walls, then fell into the deep gorges, only to swing up again to the mighty mountains and become lost in their infinity. Down below, in the depths of the gorge appeared a powerful young man in cloth trousers, which clung to mighty thighs, a short fur-trimmed jacket, and a white fez hat that sat jauntily and crookedly on his hairy skull. He climbed up the edge of the rock, light-footed as a deer. Small rocks tumbled under his powerful feet and rolled quickly into the abyss, as quickly as the lives of those who lived there. That is Beeb, whom Prenka is waiting for. Beeb, it is you. Yes, it's me, Prenka, and ready as always to fulfill your sweet requests, which would wake me from the deepest sleep. Beeb, you already know. Mirash is down there on the hunt again. The Sultan's peaceful peasants always provide more than enough for him. He will only return early in the morning with his martini hangover. Iwanage, Dutch, and Folk with a rich bounty. And until then, the happy Beeb and his Prenka will enjoy a few sweet hours in a warm embrace, such as exists nowhere else in Croja and Elbasan, spoke the young Albanian passionately with black glowing eyes. He wrapped his arm around her waist and pressed his face into her yielding bosom, pulling her ever more urgently against himself. He pulled her over to the little wooden hut, which clung to a second outcropping like an eagle's nest, protruding out a few steps over the abyss. Yes, yes, Beeb, she whispered urgently, surrendering to him. I believe you know that Mirash, my vagabond husband, is not at home, and that alone, except for the child, I roll around sadly on my cold bed without having a man's warm breast beside me. You are now my protector and spouse for the entire night, and when Mirash returns, I will be longing for you again. You, my orange juice, until I can call out once more. Beeb! Prenka, if it weren't for you, how could I embrace this soft flesh tonight that was created for my pleasure? How could I moisten my dry lips on the sweet breath of your lips, which are sweeter than the fruit of the fig tree? Oh, Prenka, are you listening? I would stagger off with a boulder, carry it to my hut, and embrace it till the morning dawn, until I lay there frozen. But now I will satisfy my desires on your warm breasts, wrap myself in your thick hair until it covers me like the most beautiful blanket which we get from the sea. Beeb, let's go, said the good-looking woman eagerly and trembling as she pulled him toward the hut with a heated face. She could not resist the instincts of the wild nature that flashed in her black eyes. In those eyes you could read all the secret desires of that moment. Let's go, replied Beeb, fog dancing in his eyes as he roughly pulled her to the hut, kicked the door open with his foot, lay her trembling body down onto the low bed, and then pounced on her with all his weight and showed her how much he had been longing for her all week. Beeb, oh, Beeb! Prenka, precious Prenka, here I am. It went on like that for 2 years. As often as Mirash hurried after his companions, looking for good plunder far distant from this poor village, plundering and sacking the peaceful peasants around Debar and Struga, you could hear these calls, like the fierce screams of eagles on the bare rocks. And when Mirash was enjoying robbery and murder, his wife satisfied her desires with strong Beeb, and life in the hut went peacefully. But sneaky Dutch who had longed after Prink as Rowan's breasts for a long time himself, could no longer stand to see her living so contentedly and ignoring his own proposal. And he arranged things so that one day Mirage stopped at the second hill after leaving home to convince himself of the truth of what Dorsh had filled his ears with day after day. "Beeb, oh Beeb, here I am, Franca." As before, it echoed through the Albanian rock cliffs. As before, the autumn sun fell behind the distant mountains and sank into the sea. But this time, Mirage heard it. And then happened what so often happens in these things. With bloodshot eyes that rolled like two stormy seas, with disheveled hair no longer hung over from martinis, Mirage rushed over the steep rocky ridges with a terrible vengeance. Beneath the high cliff wall, below the clinging eagle's nest little hut of Mirage Donnaj, down there in the depths of the dark abyss, where a little mountain streamlet rushes through, lies Beeb's dead, headless body. When a dry wind drifts through the high rocky ridges of wild Albania at midnight, when the crippled Swiss pine mysteriously groan as if telling ancient fairy tales of the fiery blood of the Albanians, a pale, careworn woman hurries to the top of a rock outcropping covered with dark green moss. She paces back and forth with loose hair and torn clothing. She holds a child in her skinny, bony arms and wakes up the sleeping mountains with her sad voice. "Beeb! Oh, Beeb!" But no slim, light-footed youth appears from down below in the depths. Only an inaudible sigh comes up to the mad woman and whispers to her with love and affection. "Here I am, my Prenka." And that's the end of that story. Short. But Albanian, Serbian. Until next week. See you later.